Today's scripture lesson comes to us from the Gospel according to John, verses 24 through 28 in the 20th chapter. Please feel free to follow along in the pew Bibles found in front of you or on the screen. But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in the hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were closed shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side, and do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
There you go. I want to make sure you're here this morning. It's been a while since I've been in here, so I'm kind of excited, but I'm also nervous. Now, I'm excited, too, because my wife is going to be coming up, and we're going to be kind of doing a sermon a little bit together. We did this in modern worship last week, and so I wanted to invite her up this week for her to do a word of testimony. So I've got a seat for her. Where is she? Come on up. So give her a round of applause for coming on up. So this week, we are working with the question of why Jesus. Last week, it was why God. Go ahead and have a seat, Don. Oh, yeah, let's get the microphone. That's right. She appropriately tells me what to do sometimes, so she reminds me. You were very nice about it, that's for sure. So let's go ahead, and I'm just going to ask for God's wisdom to be with us as we get into his word. Lord, we come before you. We ask that you would teach us through your word. Guide us in all understanding, that we may know you better through the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into this place with your power, your grace, and your wisdom to be on us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. We all say, amen. So today we're into why God and why Jesus. Now last week when I was talking about why God, I really believe why God is because God changed my perspective on how I see life. I was one of the pastors that did one of the first funerals for when people were shot in the IHOP down close to San Antonio back in 1990 when all this kind of really came into publicity. And it changed my perspective. When I had to hold a dead baby and present that baby to its mom, it changed my perspective as a young preacher. When I went through the death of my ex-mother-in-law, who died 22 years ago, when she died of melanoma cancer, it helped me to see God as redeeming her from her pain rather than just snatching her way out of life. So for me, why God is because God changed my perspective on how I see life and what happens. And I could either see it as one who can overcome or one who can be a victim. And God has helped me to be an overcomer. And that's what God has done for you too. Now today, why Jesus? I really like the way the scripture was. Now here's Thomas. And he's kind of oblivious a little bit. And the disciples have met in this room and they're locked in this room because they're afraid the Jews are going to come after them. This is after the death of Jesus. So Jesus has died. They're locked in this room. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. Comes right back down from heaven and just pop, appears to them. And what they do is they take his hand. Can I have your hand? It's okay. It's okay. And so, why don't you stand up with me? There you go. Thank you. See, you've got double duty today. So they take their hand and they touch his hand. And they can feel the nail scar in his hand. And when they did that, all of a sudden, Wow! That is Jesus, the one who was crucified, is now alive right here. And so for them, it was a powerful moment. And then Thomas is like, look, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. And I'm not going to believe it until I'm able to touch those hands myself. So a week later, Jesus comes on the scene. Go ahead and stand up. I told him earlier I'd use him for something. And he's like, what? And I said, you'll see. So his hand, when Thomas takes his hand and feels the hand of Jesus, he sees and feels the scars of the cross, of his death. And now in his resurrection, he can touch the reality of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is alive and not dead. And so at that point, thank you, when Thomas touched Jesus, the reality of Jesus came full on, and the reality of God in this world came full on into the lives of the disciples and Thomas. The reality of God is right here. And to me, that's part of the power of Jesus, is that Jesus brings about the reality of God in this world and what God is going to do in this world to bring all people unto God. And Jesus was the main player. Now, as I talked with Liz about this, and it wasn't just me talking to her, okay? It was us dialoguing together. And so we're talking about why Jesus, asked her, why Jesus for her? And with me, the first thing is that why Jesus? Because Jesus is the reality of God. The second thing is that Jesus came with a lifestyle. So when we read Scripture and we see all that Jesus did, Jesus came down to this world to show us a way to live that was different than the people that were around him. It was about other people, not them themselves. And so as we dialogued about the idea of lifestyle, Liz started talking to me, and I listened. And I want to give her the floor for about 5 minutes to talk about that.
He stole my thunder.
No.
No, I'm kidding. So we do dialogue a lot about it, mostly sitting out in the backyard. But so we were talking about why God last week, and for me it's how people show up. God is how people are how God shows up. That's what I'm trying to say. In the times that we go through and the troubles that we have, the people that come alongside us, that support us, that's God showing up in our lives, right? And so when I'm thinking about Jesus, I think, okay, so Jesus came here, and as we watched and as we study his ministry, he shows us how to show up. Read Pilgrim Messiah here recently, shout out to my UMW group. And it was a fascinating book based on the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. But it really fleshed out and went into a little more detail about Christ's ministry in this world while he was here for 3 years. And it's about we can study in the scripture about his day-to-day activity and how he healed people and he spent time with people and he taught people and he cared about kids and he embraced them. And it's how he showed up in the lives of these people and how he truly cared for them. And to me, he is our model, how we can show up for others, how we can be God's hands and feet on this earth by our faith in Christ and empowering with the Holy Spirit. It's our ability to show up and care for each other. And he modeled that for us when he was here.
That's it?
Well, I can say something more. You cut me off last week. So. I'm kidding.
we go through this a lot and just have fun with each other. And so I think the world of this lady. And she's not only wonderful, but she's beautiful too. So
I'll interrupt you if I have something to say.
What's that? Okay, that sounds good. So think of this. And so what Liz is talking about is a lifestyle that we're called to. And if we're looking at Jesus, Jesus was and is the representative of God himself or herself. Okay, remember God transcends male and femaleness. So Jesus was the representative of God in the flesh. And when I think that Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples, he was transferring to them the responsibility to represent the power of God out to the whole world. And so from there, God breathes on us to represent God to the whole world right now. And so we move into a lifestyle, live for God. And so when Thomas saw Jesus and touched his hands, and after he touched his hands and the reality of God was fully on him, I could see him kneeling before Jesus saying, "My Lord and my God, I give my soul to you." And the reality of God was there and was moved on. And so we talk about being the representative of God. We talk about lifestyle. And then finally, to me, the most important aspect of Jesus is salvation.
Before you get away from that, I have a thought.
Oh, okay.
I told you I'd interrupt. So the thought that I was having was, if we are in the world and we're preaching Jesus, but our behavior is not consistent, okay? If our behavior and the way we conduct our lives, the way we conduct ourselves at work, among our friends, if it's not consistent with what we're trying to say about Jesus, then who's going to believe it, right? So it's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to be consistent across our lives and make sure that our message, his message of salvation, is going to be heard through us. Because if we're inconsistent, mm-hmm. Crashing cymbals and, you know, we're
clanging cymbals,
whatever
that
is.
Stuff, yeah.
We're just noisemakers. Nobody's going to believe what we have to say.
You know, and you remind me, when I just got back from Juarez yesterday. And so Martha and team of seven of us were over in Juarez and we're doing the homes. And it was so exciting. We get there the first day and we are called to paint this home they just got through finishing. And it's two rooms and a bathroom. And so all they have is running water and possibly gas. One guy had to use a gas tank to do gas for his stove. And so we painted, and then the next day, the people who were going to occupy, we helped them move into the house. So the money that you gave helped build a house for $5,000, and we moved the people in and got them set up. And then the next day, we helped another group move into another house while we demolished their crate home. They would use crates to build the walls, and then they would use cardboard to cover over the crates to give some type of cover over that. It was amazing. And we were up on the roof, and this one gentleman, Silas, he was the gentleman that we built the home for, and they moved in. And he was there the whole time helping demolish that house. And so he paid it back to the people who were going to occupy the next house. He embodied the power of God's grace and love at that time. And it was a powerful time. You see some of the stuff. And it was so exciting. So you ought to think about doing that. And Juarez, to me, was safe. There wasn't much of a problem. And so we had a great time and a great trip, but it was amazing to see this. That's how we represent God here on earth. Faith in action is exactly it. So thank you for coming up. And I want to go ahead and talk about salvation for a minute. And this is one of the most important aspects for me. salvation in the dictionary says that you're going to be, you can use a number of words, that you can be redeemed or you can be saved from ruin or death, we could say. In the Christian world, salvation means that you are saved from death, spiritual death. So realize that when we come unto understanding Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was raised to life by the activity of God the Father in heaven, that salvation came into the world through what Jesus Christ did. That means that people have been saved from spiritual death or separation from God. And so when you see the table today, the table is about the way Jesus brought you into relationship with God. Because what happened on that cross was the egocentrism, or the sin that we do, was wiped away through the death of Jesus Christ on that cross. And so when you come to the table today, I want you to think about yourself in your relationship with God. Because it's through Jesus Christ you have been saved. And I'm going to read the scripture to you, and I know you all know it. John 3:16. And you can kind of say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And I love the finish out in 17. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You're saved from separation, eternal separation from God, when you believe in Jesus Christ. And you say, my God and my Lord, I follow you. Another scripture, Romans 6:23, and we've been going over this in Romans, and we're on chapter 9, I think, now. But listen to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the idea is that you have been saved into a relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and his resurrection. And that's what the table is about. And I want to refer to the table in the next couple of minutes. So, when we get back here and we take the apron off the cup, and we take the apron off the bread, and I take the juice right here in the pitcher. As you know, we start off with the bread. And the bread, as we say, is the body of Christ. And as we say, it's the body of Christ given for you. And when we break it, the idea that the brokenness of Christ in his death, his body. Now, it's been exciting. I love communion. I love when we do this. Because when you spend time and ask for forgiveness for your sin, and God says to you, I forgive you. And you take a piece of this bread and you dip it into the juice, you are partaking in the death of Christ. Because you too, and the idea of baptism, have been dead in your sin and then raised to newness of life. And that's exactly the pathway of Christ. And so today, when you take this bread, realize it is the body of Christ. So that when I do the prayer and ask for the Holy Spirit to pour out on these elements, at that point it becomes the body of Christ. At that point it becomes the blood of Christ. We don't know how it happens. It just does. It's a mystery. And that's what a sacrament is about. And so when we come to the blood, and I pour the juice right now, and when it too is prayed over, it becomes the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, which is the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. And so when you feel that bread go on your lips from intinction, and you feel the moisture of this juice, may it symbolize to you a sense that God is washing your sin away at the table of Christ. See, Christ was the representative of God. Christ came to deliver a message and a lifestyle for you to represent God. But then finally, and most importantly, Jesus became the Savior of the world, providing salvation for us when separated from God, through His blood and body, bring us with God an eternal life. So may this table represent to you today life after death. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You, and we give You thanks for the table of life that comes through Jesus the Christ, who died on the cross for our sin and was raised to newness of life, so that we could be raised to newness of life. And when Thomas put his hand in Jesus' hand, it brought the reality of Your activity, O Lord. And we give You thanks that You have shown us who You are in Jesus. So Lord, as we come to this table, we give ourselves to You. We know we live in a world that's fractured and struggling, and we lift up our world leaders to You and ask that You give them wisdom. We know people around us that are struggling right now with life issues, and we ask that You would give them wisdom to be overcomers in those issues. Lord, finally, we come and we place ourselves before You, and we know that we sin. And we ask for Your forgiveness. And then we rejoice in that forgiveness and realize that You throw our sin as far as the east is from the west. It is no longer. So may we rise up in a little while, rise up in a little while, and leave this place, knowing that You go with us, with a life to live for You. For Holy Spirit, come on us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.